Everybody, welcome to the press. It's the start of a new week. It's the start of Waste Management Phoenix Open Week, or as they now like to call it, WM Phoenix Open Week. I'm Ryan Balogi. Thanks for being here. We're going to talk today about the opening lines for the week at TPC Scottsdale, and we'll do some kind of initial thoughts, picks, line movement, all that good stuff. Tomorrow, we will go over the model for the tournament. Once again, we keep running into these situations where triple-digit, near triple-digit winners, depending on where you got Wyndham Clark, 90-1, 80-1, 100-1, where you got them. Keep winning on the PGA Tour. I have a feeling that will stop this week, and I'll tell you a little bit why about that in tomorrow's show. And then on Wednesday, we will talk about the two other pertinent tour events of the week. That is LIV Las Vegas and also the Qatar Masters, or Qatar Masters, depending on how you say it, on the DP World Tour. One thing I will caution about the Live Las Vegas event this week, two things. One, none of this golf course has ever played there. Two, it's old. And three, there's a Super Bowl there this weekend. So there's going to be a lot of parties, a lot of opportunities to hang out with different people. You might want to think about the nerds having the best chance to win the squares. But we'll come back to that on Wednesday. Before we also get into anything related to the Phoenix Open, I want to point out something that I thought was pretty genius, but I did not get a chance to take advantage of because I got a new puppy this weekend, like a new dog. So I spent a lot of time chasing the dog and trying to kind of work with her a little bit instead of thinking about Pebble Beach. So just remember this for future reference. And the one thing I want to underscore here is know your house rules. Know the rules of the sports book in which you are betting. So, for example, DraftKings and FanDuel, when you have outright winner bets or top 5, top 10, top 20 bets, those bets, they all need to have a certain amount of holes completed when the tournament ends for them to be accepted, for them to not be voided. At DK and FanDuel, it is 36 holes. And if you play in a book where you need 72 holes to have the action count, I've seen that at Circa, I've seen it in other places. There are a lot of other places that probably do this. But you need to check the rules. Because if it says 72 holes need to be completed for a golf bet like this to count, then they can void it. If you have 36 holes as the requirement, then you can do what some cunning people did, which was take a guess that there would be no final round at Pebble Beach, and parlay the top 5 players on the board for a top 5 bet, parlay the top 10 players for a top 10 bet, and parlay the entire top 20 on a top 20 bet. And if you did that, particularly if you did it on FanDuel, they paid if you got it done before the third round ended. And if you did it after the fact, then they, for some reason, voided it. But there's going to be an interesting uphill climb here for someone like DraftKings, who seems like they want to try to avoid these types of bets, but some smart people made some interesting wagers, including one guy who I think had a top 20 parlay the entire top 20 and would be winning something like $770,000. So just want to point that out. Know your house rules. I'm not saying try to find situations where the tournament will be canceled or the final round won't be good, although I will say to look for that. But you got to know your house rules. If you don't know that, you're just locking up your money for it to be voided for no good reason. Also, on the DraftKings front, before we get into all the lines for this week, this is one of their promo weeks because they have a sports book at TPC Scottsdale. So they're trying to get you to wager there. They're trying to get a lot of action for this week. You can get, and they have not had this yet this year that I've seen, you can add plus 300 to any wager to win the tournament this week. So take advantage of that, particularly on these shorter shots that I think will give you a good chance to win this week. Now, all that said, let's go over the outright winner lines. First, top of the board, two-time defending champion Scottie Scheffler, 5-1. Again, pricing in at DK that you would get him at 8-1. That's still crappy, crappy odds given the players in this field, but at least you would get him at 8-1 instead of 5-1. Justin Thomas is 10. Max Homa is 14, Sam Burns and Jordan Spieth are 20, Minwoo, and Benon are 28. Wyndham Clark and Sun J.M., Matt Fitzpatrick, J.T. Poston are all 30, which is all kind of weird grouping of guys. Tom Kim, Sahith Thigala, Cameron Young are 35. 45s include Eric Cole, Adam Hadwin. The 50s are Siwoo, Ricky Fowler, Corey Connors, Bo Hostler, Adam Scott. Your 55 trio is Hideki Matsuyama, Brian Harman, and Akshay Bhatia. Your 60s, Norin and Dietrich. 70 is Kevin Yu all by himself. 75, Lowry, Griot, McCarthy, Brendan Todd. 80, Tommy Tables, Tom Hoagie, Taylor Montgomery, Patrick Rogers, Kurt Kitayama, Keith Mitchell, Harris English, Andrew Putnam, Adam Schenck, and we'll cut it out there. Some other guys I do want to point out to get further down the board. I think Ryan Fox is kind of interesting, actually, because he does seem to play okay desert golf, but you do need a little experience on this golf course, but he gains a lot of strokes off the tee and just needs to keep the ball in play. He interests me because I think there is a weird correlation between this course and Wentworth Club for the BMW PGA Championship. Billy Horschel likes this course and likes that one. He likes it because the corridors are not easy to hit into. They are deceptively difficult. And if you keep it in play, you got a good chance. Ryan Fox is not playing his best golf, but I really like him if you're thinking about 100-to-1 plus guy to try to keep this trend going. He's interesting. Nick Taylor is interesting, contended here. Last year has been playing okay, 110-to-1. I really do like Michael Kim right now. I don't have a really good reason to bet him, but I do like the golf that he's playing at the moment. Justin Suh, I really do like him. Eventually, he's going to break through. Matt McNeely's playing some good golf. I feel like he's trying to turn the corner, but he's not quite there. A guy I think you should look at on a top 10 and a top 5 this week, and maybe even a win bet, is Alex Bjork. He got into this field because two of the biggest players in the field, Xander Schauffele and Victor Hovland, both withdrew today. So Alex Bjork is one of the players who replaces in the field. I think he replaced Schauffele. So he's at 180-to-1. He's 35-to-1 on the top 5, 12-to-1 on the top 10. He played well last time out. He's a great ball striker. The thing you need to know about this golf course is you don't need to be a great putter to win on it. You don't. I mean, Phil Mickelson was one of the best putters in his time when he was playing his best golf, and he loved this golf course. However, he also wasn't a very good putter from a variety of different distances over the course of his PGA Tour career, especially toward the tail end of that career. And he's always kind of like this tournament. So, you look at Scottie Scheffler, obviously not a great putter. Brooks Koepka, not the best putter. I mean, he's not horrible, but not the best. Hideki Matsuyama, definitely not the best. Ricky Fowler is probably the only notable exception in recent memory of a really good putter. You need to be a good ball striker on this golf course. And that screams to me, Alex Bjork. So I would very strongly look at him this week just for your kind of pizza bet, or lots of pizzas. If you bet $10 on him and he won, you $1,810. So someone to consider there at that longer shot that I think's worth it. Carl Yuan's been playing okay going back a few months. I think the shine's come off a little bit, but he would be interesting at 250-to-1. I don't think I really want to go that much deeper. Maybe a Ryan Moore, perhaps. Other than that, I haven't seen anything. I really want to bet Adrien Dumont-Chassard at some point. He's 400-to-1. He just hasn't clicked quite yet on this tour. And there are some super mega long shots like Kevin Stadler and Jesse Muller who are 5,000-to-1 each. J.B. Holmes is 2,500-to-1. Just please don't find yourself down that rabbit hole. If that happens, maybe just golf's in a weird place this year. So heading back toward the top of the board, without Hovland and Schauffele, so that's when I'm recording this. So the numbers that we would have talked about this morning would be different, right? And they were different substantively. But without Victor Hovland, who was one of the favorites in this field, and without Xander Schauffele, who's one of the best horse-for-course plays in this tournament, you really have that one standout favorite. I really do like Justin Thomas here. He's been playing great golf, trending in the right direction, played well at Pebble. It seems like he's figured out whatever has gone wrong, and maybe that was just omitting pizza from his diet, as he's talked about. But I like him here at 10/13-to-1 if you get him on DraftKings. I also like Sam Burns. Burns has played well his last two times out. He got really frustrated by putting on Poa at Pebble. He spares himself one more round of that. Gets the putt on these surfaces, which are exceptional at TPC Scottsdale. I mean, they could not be nicer surfaces on which to putt. They are fast. They are true. They remind me a lot of Innisbrook, where he has won. And I think you need to kind of think about that from a green setup perspective. So I would like Sam Burns a lot here. I wish I could get Minwoo Lee about 5 to 10 points more. I would bet him. But I don't think I can at this number. I'd like his chances to win. I just don't like the value quite as much. But the market's the market. So if you like him enough, go for it. But he hits it so far, he doesn't really need driver to get around this golf course. And he can hit less than driver on a lot of holes, including the par fives, except for one, and still get to two of them. So he can overpower this golf course without having to try to overpower it. I really like that. I think he's got a very good opportunity here this week. I like Sungjae a lot. He's not played well recently, so I've kept him. I'm going to keep him off the card, I think. Maybe bet him live if things start to turn around, but there is reason to not like that too much. Same with Sahith Theegala. I thought I was catching him at the right time on an upswing. It turns out I was catching him on a downswing when I played him in one and done. He made the cut at the Farmers Insurance Open, but did not do a whole lot more than that on the South course, and that's unfortunate. If you want to try to draw from what Cameron Young did in Dubai, nearly winning the Dubai Desert Classic, I think you should strongly consider looking at him this week. But you don't have a whole ton of other results that buoy that bet. You have, okay, he played very well in Dubai. Really first time looking at a golf course that is tricky, and this one can be tricky too. So I think you can draw that, but you don't have a whole lot to work with otherwise. I like Adam Hadwin a lot, playing good golf, good ball striker. The Canadians just seem to love desert golf. And I mean, this goes back to like Mike Weir 20 years ago. There aren't many Canadians, but the Canadians like the desert golf. So I think Hadwin's an interesting play given his current form. 45-1. I've seen a number of people try to tout Hideki Matsuyama. I'm staying far away from Hideki Matsuyama at 55-1. Not because I don't like him on this golf course, but because I just don't think he's playing that well. I think he's frustrated, and it could all turn around here this week, but I just don't see it. I would rather you go with Akshay Bhatia at 55-1 for a couple of reasons. One, he's playing great recently. Been playing very well at the start of the year. He's going to be my one and done pick. I would also note, he seems like an entertainer. And I think you need to embrace what this tournament is and what it is not. It is a golf tournament. And last year was weird because you had everybody in the top 50 playing, basically, that was eligible. But this year, you only have a little bit more than half. You have, like, I think 28. No, it's 26, I guess, because those two guys got out with Schauffele and Hovland. But you have more than half the top 50 playing. And it's not quite the same as 40-some-odd. But this tournament is about entertainment. There are fans who are wasted everywhere. They are shouting and screaming and having a great time. They are part of the distraction and part of the reason that you play. You've got to be able to embrace it. They're not out to get you, but they are out to have a good time. And 55-1, I think, is a right price for a guy like Bhatia who's been playing well. And it does seem like a guy who embraced the atmosphere of it all. Tom Dietrich's playing great, 60-1. I'd stick with him. Seems to continue to be playing well. Shane Lowry, I think a lot of people have mentioned so far on this Monday for the reason that he moved out of the top 50 in the world. And that means he needs to find a way back. I don't know that I see that. I personally don't, but hey, you do you. I would rather look at a Taylor Montgomery who has faded a little bit off of that hot start because he's now got like 5 starts or 4 starts or whatever it is. But he has 2 top 15 finishes to start the year. I'm good with that. I think it's worth at least a look at 80-1 to consider. I think Harris English is in the same boat. He's also 80-1. He's been playing pretty well. He probably would do well in this kind of atmosphere. I don't think it will bother him too much if people get really behind him. Mark Hubbard, same guy. Guy who loves kind of the atmosphere. I probably won't bet Mark Hubbard or Harris English, to be honest with you. Maybe Taylor Montgomery. But I think he's at least worth a consideration here. Adam Shank, who I talked about last week. Woof, that was a whiff. I got to own that one. That was not great. He was bad from the start. Bad to the bone, unfortunately. Billy Horschel, 100-1, we've talked about. I'm not ready to invest in him, but maybe you want to look at him on a top 10 or a top 20 this week. Good plus money on a top 20 for Billy Horschel. I think that's worth a look. He has a good track record here. Nick Taylor, again, we mentioned him earlier. I'm curious about Jake Knapp. I really like his game. He gets the ever-living hell out of the ball. 130-1, I don't think is worth quite the win bet yet, but maybe it is. His results indicate that he could just dominate a golf course like this. He hits it so far and so fast. If he just keeps it in play, he's going to shoot 67 every day. But all that to say, there's going to be some kind of weather this week. Seems like in the weather forecast. Thursday and Saturday look not great. It looks like there's going to be some rain, which is weird to say for Arizona. But what's hitting California now and will continue to hit it in different portions. So Northern California and Southern California. Northern California is getting basically what was a cyclone. And Southern California is getting what's called the atmospheric river, which is basically just overwhelming downpours, like 8, 9, 10 inches of rain, which makes you think about Riviera for next week. But that is ultimately kind of coming Arizona's way. Not to that level, right? I mean, it would be a catastrophic situation. But they will get some precipitation, probably Thursday and Saturday. What that means, to be seen, right? If it's just kind of a little bit of rain, maybe it's overnight, softens things up. I think we got to get that a little bit more dialed in, but I want you to think about that for a first-round leader bet. Also, we haven't talked about first-round leaders this year on the show. Maybe we can talk about that tomorrow, as maybe we get a little bit clearer on the weather forecast. But I do want to mention to those of you who are GNM members, or not GNM members, you can listen to this too. We'd love for you to be a GNM member. But if you look at the tools that we have for fantasy golf, but I want you to look at strokes gained by round. We have a great tool for strokes gained by round. And if you look at that, you will see the players who play the best in round one and then also round two. But I think you also got to think about that for round four. If you're thinking about like a showdown, maybe you're not betting. Maybe you're playing DraftKings or DFS or single round type stuff. Your underdog fantasies of the world. Looking at the strokes gained in particularly on the weekend rounds. It's easier to gain strokes on Thursday and Friday. It's harder to gain strokes on Saturday and Sunday. The best players gain more strokes on Saturday and Sunday, almost across the board. So worth looking at that. Also, they gain strokes in the final round when it's the hardest and everything's on the line. So just want to keep that in front of you and make you think about it just a little bit going into the weekend or going into the week because weather's expected, so play around with that a little bit. But Jake Knapp does interest me quite a bit, and I do want to pull him up here on the OWGR website while I'm thinking about it. And just show to you, you know, he's 106th in the world ranking. He was tied for third at the Farmers Insurance Open. Obviously did not play at the Pebble Beach event last weekend. He wouldn't have qualified. He missed the cut at the American Express T70 at the Sony Open, but if you look at his two events prior in the Korn Ferry Tour playoffs, you know, their finals, T10 at the Korn Ferry Tour Championship on a tough golf course, T5th at the Ohio State University golf course, also a tough golf course. So if you look at his last five starts, again, over multiple months at this point, October, November, December, January, and part of February, but he didn't play in February yet. So over 4 months, he has three very good starts, but his length should mean a lot on this golf course. I think it meant a lot at Victoria National. I know it meant a lot at Torrey. It seems to mean a lot, not always, but it seems to mean a lot at TPC Scottsdale if you can keep it in play. So I just want to point that out just a little bit. All right, that's going to do it for us today on the show. Tomorrow we will talk about the model for this tournament. We'll talk about horses for courses. We'll talk about current form. Talk about anything that I might have missed and want to clean up here. We are playing a par 71 this week. So you don't get the full complement of four par fives. You only get three. I would say two are particularly scorable. One's kind of dangerous. It is a little risk-reward. You do have the benefit of 17 being a drivable hole, but a lot of players now that are longer just hit three-wood down there and try to chip and putt it. Maybe they get lucky and bounce on. So they have learned from Sahith Theegala from a couple of years ago and Ricky Fowler from a couple of years ago, although some players still have not learned their lesson to play 17 properly. So good week ahead. Lots to get to. Hopefully you had a great winning weekend last weekend. I did not particularly see Wyndham Clark coming, but who knows what would have happened in the final round if they actually played it. Had he not shot a ball in hand 60, a lot of people definitely wouldn't have cashed those 80, 90, and 100 to 1 tickets. I think you would have been looking at a lot of people happy that Ludwig Åberg won. So you have to remember that things can happen. It's a good lesson. Anything can happen. When they telegraph that the weather forecast is going to be bad, you got to start thinking about that in terms of who you wager, in terms of live wagering, in terms of these type of parlay bets, know your house rules, all that good stuff. I think last week was a good lesson. We may not get to use it again for a while, but it's a good lesson. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with another show. You can join golfnewsnet.com for $40 a year. Head over there, golfnewsnet.com, and sign up today. It's $10 for a week, so if you just want to do it for 1 week, you can do it for 1 week and cancel if you wish after that week, but it's $40 for the year, so we're trying to encourage people to do that full-year subscription. You can get a hold of me on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Ryan Ballengee. Thanks for listening to the show. We will talk to you tomorrow.